This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. And hello again, my radio friend. This is Reverend Caesar coming to you from BBS Radio. Please pray for me. Things are not going so well. Not feeling well at all. But I thank God this evening I'm able to come to bring His word. I pray this word would be a blessing to you and to yours. I want to talk to you this evening from the book of St. John, chapter 3, beginning from verse 1 until I so finished. And it reads here, yeah, going to talk about Nicodemus. Jesus and Nicodemus, the new birth. There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. Now, that is very clear. This man was a man of the Pharisees, and he was a ruler of the Jews. And the Bible says the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. All right. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Underline that. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, this was baffling to Nicodemus. And so Nicodemus said unto him, Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus did not get the picture because he thinking from a carnal mind. So he didn't understand that part at all whatsoever. But however, what we know, Jesus never likes to keep us in the dark. Never. So Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, listen to me carefully, except a man be born of water, this time, and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, these are two things. The first one says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Second says, except He is born of water and of spirit. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus continued to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, do not be confused that I say unto thee, he must be born again. He must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the song thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And here come Nicodemus again. When Nicodemus answered and said unto him, Lord, how can these things be? Please tell me. And Jesus carefully addressed Nicodemus' situation. He addressed his character. Jesus did not play with him. Jesus says, art thou a master of Israel? And you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and he received not our witness. So what Jesus was saying is, say, look, Nicodemus, this is primary school stuff here. Are you a member also of the Sanhedrin and you don't know this? You are the ruler of Israel and a member of the highest all courts and orders in Israel and you don't know this? No, Nicodemus, you have been shocked now. Jesus continued to tell Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up from heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus outlined the situation to him, he says, look, let me get straight to the matter now. Let me get straight to the matter. Jesus addressed that situation which was baffling him for the longest while. The same came into him by night, the same man, thus avoiding the hostility of his colleagues and also obtaining a more personal and uninterrupted interview with Jesus. That his coming by night revealed his character is shown by the fact that John repeats the expression when describing him at John 19:39. But in justice, it should be said that Nicodemus was only one of his order who came at all during our Lord's life. And when they say, and when Nicodemus say, and we say, we know that you are a rabbi. You know, Nicodemus uses the plural to avoid committing himself to who came at all during the Lord's life. He say, I know that you are not one of these people who are learned from these situations, but the work you do, you know, we just can't understand how you can do that. You have to come from God to do all these things. And you see, to be in the Sanhedrin, they has all the legal rulings and opinions all the time. Besides their normal function, their courts and committees are to develop expert legal opinions. And that's what Jesus was saying. Are you a ruler of the Jews and a member of the Sanhedrin and you don't know what I'm saying here? He that born of water is water. He that born of spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, he must be born again. In order for you to understand this thing and to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Jesus answered, not the words, but the thoughts of Nicodemus. The answers of Jesus often look rather to the thoughts of the questioner than to the form of the question. Nicodemus really came seeking to know something about the kingdom of God. Agreed. And Jesus opened at once upon the subject. And that is why Jesus addressed it and said, listen to me. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus understood it to mean a second birth. Completely confused by his own carnal thoughts. So continue from verse 16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right here, the necessity of the new birth grows out of the incapacity of the natural man to see or to enter into the kingdom of God. That is what confused Nicodemus. However gifted, moral, or refined the natural man is, absolutely blind to spiritual truth. With all the education that Nicodemus has and the big position, he is completely lost without Christ. Completely. And that can make him become impotent to enter the kingdom. For he can neither obey, understand, nor please God. And look, that is in John chapter 3, verse 3, 5, and 6. The new birth is not a reformation of the old nature, but a creative act of the Holy Spirit. The condition of the new birth is faith in Christ crucified. And so through the new birth, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature and of the life of Christ himself. Yeah, it is in this condition every non-believer, all of us, in such a situation, every believer will be lost if not staying with Christ. Yeah. You want to tell me that you didn't know this? That is what my Lord is saying all the time. You don't know this? And you're a member of the Sanhedrin and you don't know that? You got to be kidding me. You see, when Christ came to bring new light to the minds of men so that they would not grow up and stumble in darkness. And, you know, therefore, Nicodemus saw himself bad and barred forever from the kingdom of an impossible requirement. He couldn't see himself getting into the kingdom of God because he knew that he is not born again. Many like him need to learn that God asks of us nothing that is impossible, that on the contrary, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. And Jesus continuously was pounded into him, hammering home into his heart. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except, that is the catchphrase, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. By vast and by far, the majority of scholars today considers the word water in this verse as a reference to Christian baptism. And you know, the Cambridge, the Bible says that the outer sign and inward grace of Christian baptism are here clearly given, and an unbiased mind can scarcely avoid seeing that part in John chapter 1:26, John 1:33, where the Baptist declares, I baptize in water. The Messiah baptizes in the Holy Spirit. The Father, both Greek and Latin, thus interpret the passage with singular unanimity. So that's why Nicodemus was not able to grasp the whole situation. That which is born of the flesh, Nicodemus, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's why men who are not in Christ are not able to understand the things of the Spirit. I know Jesus draws the distinction between fleshly birth and spiritual birth. He did this deliberately to prepare Nicodemus to understand that it is the spirit, not the flesh, which undergoes the change called the new birth. Regeneration is no slight superficial change, but a radical one, and one which we cannot walk for ourselves. We can't do it. We cannot do it. And Jesus continued, say, marvel not that I say unto thee, he must be born again. Jesus here plainly declares that none are exempt from this gospel requirement. Man must obtain more than his fleshly nature if he would inherit eternal life. And when Jesus said, "The wind blow it where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it come, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In this sentence, we have the word pneuma, translated by the two words, wind and spirit. There can be no justification in rendering pneuma, which is the wind, when in the last clause of the same sentence and three times in the immediate context, it is rendered spirit. There can be no doubt that it means the same in both clause of the verse. And if we render it wind in the first clause, we must say born of the wind. In the last clause, whatever is the meaning of the verse, it must be extracted from rendering, which the verses have, you know, strangely placed in the margin. So when Nicodemus heard that, you know, that a man is born of the Spirit, he was very confused. That is breathing as the wills through inspired men. It is the word of God. He that born of the Spirit is Spirit, and he that born of the flesh is flesh. And that he couldn't understand, how can that be? This is confusing. I must imagine how he scratched his head until his hair fell out. That is what Jesus, when Jesus addressed him in a very tight way, "Art thou the teacher of Israel? And understand not these things?" The teachers and Jewish teachers or doctors of the law made very arrogant claims to knowledge. But it often happens that the professedly learned are remarkably attained with the first principles of their religion. I don't know. That is what Jesus was saying. How come you don't know this primary school stuff? And Jesus continued to severely, "Verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen." That is more rhetorical in Mark chapter 4, verse 30. His words were not founded upon reasonings, speculations, and guesses, but were the plain testimony of an eyewitness who was able to see and had seen things which to us are invisible. And that's why Jesus was telling him, and we receive not our witness. He said, "And ye teachers of Israel, who above all men should receive our guidance, are the very last to follow." What Jesus means, you are well learned, but yet you don't perceive nothing what we are seeing. And therefore, Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly or divine things? Here, Jesus divides religious phenomena into two divisions, earthly and heavenly. The earthly phenomena and those which have their sphere regeneration is an earthly thing. For though it has a heavenly origin, its manifestations are among the daily signs and experiences of our earthly life. And continue with that, you know, and then Nicodemus was still confused. Jesus continued to tell Nicodemus, and no one had ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Again, he is being informed that Christ alone can teach concerning heavenly things. Jesus can so teach, for he did not begin on earth and ascended to heaven, but he came from heaven to earth and returned thence afterwards to heaven. Jesus speaks of himself as being present in heaven because his divine nature was in constant communication with the powers of heaven. And if we conceived of heaven as a locality or a proper conception, Jesus was upon the earth. But if we conceive of it as a present communion with the presence of God, also a proper conception, then Christ was in heaven. And he talked with Nicodemus. So we can think of both ways. In John chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yeah. And in those days, when someone sick and so on, the Lord told Moses, as you know, let them look to me. And as they looked, the people were healed. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus here indicates the prophetical character of the Old Testament, the extent of Christ's endorsement of the Old Testament becomes apparent when he considers on how many occasions he revealed himself under the same symbolism which the Old Testament used to reveal him. At John chapter 2, verse 19, he revealed his resurrection under the symbols and symbolism of the destroyed and restored himself. For God so loved the world. It is a lesson as to God's love, its magnitude. He gave his only begotten Son. Its reach, he gave it to a sinful world in Romans 5 and 8. Its impartiality, he gives it to whosoever, that nowhere said that God so loved the world, he would still have the same saving grace to all alike in Matthew 5:45, in Revelation 22:17. Its beneficial richness, it blesses with life eternal. For God so loved the world, and its limitations, it is nowhere said that God. Many and almost is all everyone whosoever loved the world will not perish, but have everlasting God. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. That judgment and this judgment was not the principal thing of God. But as men sin and fall from grace, they have to pay for their sins. The Bible said that he that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already, because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the name Jesus means Savior. To disbelieve this name is to reject Christ as Savior. I will ask you today that you will turn from your wicked ways and come to Christ with an open mind for him to shed his light into your mind and into your heart, that you will see the road in which you're walking and understand what he is doing with your life. I come to the end of today's topic. May God richly bless you and continue to, you know, shine his face upon you. May he bless your children and protect you from all harm and danger. And as I say goodbye, I say to you, Jesus is Lord. God bless you.
If this ministry has been a blessing and helped you through the Word of God, please donate. There's a donate button at the top of the show page. Any amount would be welcomed. Thank you in advance. This money will help keep the program Good News airing on BBS Radio. Remember, Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."